Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad to be here. I appreciate this opportunity that the elders have allowed me to speak to you this morning and to encourage you in the Lord. And I was hoping that you'd come down a little further to the front, but that's all right. You don't have to move. You don't have to move. You know, it's a privilege to come and to worship upon the first day of the week. Many of us don't believe that. We don't take the advantage of it. And I know in my lesson that when I finish with it, or before I finish, I'm going to mention it. And I'm going to mention it at the beginning. Jesus is going to have the last say. He's going to have it. Now, we have the last say now, if we want to take the opportunity of it. But there's going to come a day that he's going to have the last say. And there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. But to think about all the time that we had and didn't use it. And I understand that y'all don't have evening service, right? So you're here, what, 2 hours and a week maybe? Is that right? 2 hours a week. And when we go through this lesson, I'm trying to get a horse. That how Christ have suffered and how he died. And how we treat the Lord when it comes to the first day of the week. It's a shame. And I'm not talking about Stony Island. I'm talking about all the congregations who have been unfaithful. And the suffering that the Lord have done. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, you know there was no room in the inn for him. And the Bible tells us that. The Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. No room. The Son of God, the married baby that was going to be born, had no room to be born. And the question would be to you, do you have room for him? Do you? 10 o'clock this morning, where were you? Now, you might say, well, I have room for the Lord. But the Lord was here. 10 o'clock, because that's the time that the elders have set. And you are not here. And you're going to say you have room for him? Think about it. Think about it. It's something to think about. Had no room for him. Now, the Bible talks about here, and he laid in a manger. Well, the manger means a crib, a stable, a stall. And I like to think of it as the trough that was in the stable where the horses eat out of. That's where they laid him. Can you imagine in a stable? Many of you probably, some of you probably know, a stable is where the horses urinate, all the hay and stuff to eat, and the stink and stuff that's in there. That's where he was born. That's where he was born. And it doesn't mean nothing to us. It doesn't mean nothing to us. And we would say, well, oh, it does. But what happened when we come to worship? What happened? First day of the week. The Bible talks about when Jesus was crucified, how it was darkness over all the earth. Sun refused to shine. Does it mean anything to us? That was those that came from the grave. I mean, it's something to think about. Do we really realize when we come to serve the Lord and to worship, do we realize what we really are doing? God only accepted pure in heart. Only. He doesn't accept anything else. And when we can realize that God is a God of righteousness, that we have to strive for righteousness, and if we fail to do it, we have gone contrary to what God has said. And you know, not only was Jesus born in a manger, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, he had no place to be buried. Just think about it. God sent his only Son to die for man. Only one. No one else could have done it. No one else. And he didn't want. He asked God, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Not my will, but thy will be done." And he did it willingly for us. And how do we treat him? How do we treat him? Even his word, we have it at home. Do we pick it up and read it? He's going to have the last say. I'm telling you, he's going to have it. There's no question about it. The Bible tells us in Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even to the end of the world." He has all power. But how do people treat him? He was buried in Joseph at Arimathea, new tomb. He had no place to be buried. No place, room for him to be born. And no place for him to be buried. Isn't that something? That is something. And you know what he told in Matthew 8:20? And Jesus said unto them, "The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Nowhere. Can he lay his head with you? Are you going to let him lay his head with you? You done made the commitment. You heard his word and you believed it. You repented your sins. You confessed Christ. And you put him on in baptism. But how sad it is for some of us. Our faith have grown so weak. And God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And that's the thing that we should try to realize. The question is, do you have room for him? He has room for us. Do we have room for him? That's the thing. That's the question. Do we really? And I don't mean to labor this, but do you have room for him at 10 o'clock in the morning on the first day of the week? Do you have room for him at 11 o'clock when service began? Think about it. Just think about it. Sometime when you're at home at night in bed, think about it. Just meditate. Think about it. Do I really have room for the Lord? You know, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I come in and sup with him and he with me." Can you imagine, here has all what Jesus has done for mankind, and now here he is pleading with man to let him in. Do you let him in at 10 o'clock, first day of the week? Do you let him in at 11 o'clock? And I know you hear him knocking. I know you hear him knocking at 10. Because you know service start, Bible class start at 10. You know that. You hear him knocking. But do you open it? 11 o'clock. And there are times that we can't get to service at 11 o'clock. The Lord is knocking. We open it. You ought to make your mind up today that you're not going to treat the Lord that way anymore. You ought to make your mind up. You know, when it comes to the Lord's communion, do we really think about what we're doing? When we take up the Lord's Supper of the bread and of the fruit of the vine, do we really? There's many of us, we don't realize what we're doing. You know, the Bible talks about how Jesus being in agony, and how he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, great drops of sweat drops to the ground as great drops of blood. Can you imagine that blood, when blood drops, it drops, then it splatters. Heavy drops. The Bible said that's what sweat was coming off of him as he prayed. Let this cup pass me. But not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. You ought to read that sometime. In Luke 22:44, how he prayed. You ought to read it. And you know, by reading the Bible, it will keep you conscious of the thing that Jesus gone through. Keep our conscience in the right thinking. And when we come together on the first day of the week, that we can worship Him acceptable. I want to mention again about this unworthy. You know, the Bible talks about he that eateth and drinketh unworthy, eateth, drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Church, the Lord said something. Our mind have to be in the right place. Unworthily. And he said if he do it unworthily, he drank in damnation to himself. It's serious. It is serious when we come together to worship. It's a serious matter. The unworthy of taking the Lord's Supper. It means that the Lord's Supper is a common meal or a thing. How many times we come together and take the Lord's Supper, our mind is not even there, it's somewhere else. It is somewhere else. We need to take the Lord's Supper. We need to examine ourselves, number one. Examine yourself. And we need to think sober as we partake of the Lord's Supper. And we need to have a sincere attitude as we partake it. And when we do, we have no room for thinking about anything else. You know, the Bible tells us about how Jesus, how he was crucified. And how he was crucified. And the Bible says, and when they had planted a crown of thorns. You know, I was intending to bring. I was going to make me a crown of thorns and I was going to bring it. I forgot to do it. I got them off the tree, but I forgot to get them. They are about 4 inches long. There's only two trees that I know of that's in Memphis that have those kind of thorns. And they are horrible to look at. But I forgot to bring them. And when they had planted, they said they put it up on his head and a weed in his right hand. And they mocked him. Can you imagine? Here's a person that have died, a savior of the world, and how they treated him. And we say, oh, that is awful. That is just awful how they treated him. But just think about how we treat him. In a spiritual sense. See, our treating him in a spiritual sense, really, it is worse than a physical sense. Spiritual, this thing is real serious. And the Bible says, they saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him. Can you imagine? A person walking up on you and just spit on you? Dislike you so bad until they spit on you? That's what he did for the Savior. Then the question might come, do you really see the Lord when we come to worship like this morning? Do you really see him, especially when we take of the Lord's Supper? Do you really see him? We should. We should. Let me tell you what I mean. When you see, we read in the Bible where that they pierced him in the side. The Bible said forth came blood and water when they pierced him. Can't you see him being pierced? You know, just to say that Jesus died, that's one thing. But when you find out how he died, the trouble that he went through, all the suffering he went through, we ought to be able to see it spiritually. And I'm sure that you all, like myself, have parents that have gone on. And there are some things I can think about my parents right now, I can see it. Just like it was yesterday. But they gone. But I can see it. We ought to see the Lord that way. We ought to see the Lord that way. When we come together to worship, we ought to be able to see him. Because he's present. He is present. Now, we might act up and we might do this, but let me tell you something. God sees us. God hears. The all unseen eye, it sees us and it hears. We have to be careful when we come to worship him, how we do it. You know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the Bible says, when we come to worship, not with long prayers and not with all of this and not with all of that. And it says that God, I need to read that. I'm not quoting it right. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Keep thy feet when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasted to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. God already knows. So we don't have to put on any kind of show, as the Lord's church is doing in many places. Many places they're putting on a show. Boom, 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 boom. Y'all know it. And it's not acceptable to God. Not acceptable. It's not acceptable. And you know that Jesus says in John 19:32-34, and the soldiers came and break the legs of the first and of the second, which were crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already. And listen what happened. We ought to be able to see this when we come to worship him. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. For us. That's something to think about for us. God loved man so much until he put his son through all that suffering to die for us. But we couldn't save ourselves. And how do we trade him when we come? How do we trade him? That's something we have to think about. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 44, he that rejects me and receives not my word has one to judge him. The words that I have spoken shall judge him in the last day. He's going to have the last say. Whether we believe it or not, he's going to have it. And if you ask the rich man and Lazarus, especially the rich man, if you ask him, his plea would be, don't come to the place where God has prepared for the devil and the angels. Don't come to this place of torment. And it doesn't mean that much to the men of us. It doesn't mean that much. Doesn't mean that much. And Jesus is going to have the last say. Do you have room for him? Do you really have room for him? He have it for us. And Jesus says again in Matthew 11:28-30, Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burdens are light. What a promise that the Lord could give us. All he asks us to come. Bring our labor. We have labor. He'll give us rest. That's what he says. I give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And what he's talking about here, he's talking about his law. Study it. Learn of me. He said, my obligation, my law is not hard. My obligation is not hard. But those that the Jews did for those people in their day and time, they made their burdens hard. They made their yoke hard, they put upon it. Jesus said, mine's light. They're not hard. And I hope that I have the words that I've said from the Bible. I hope that you will be encouraged from this day forward that you're going to give your life to the Lord and that you're going to live faithful unto death. He promised us a crown of life if we live faithful unto death. No one else could promise that. Nobody. Not a man ever lived, and not a man living now and ever will live, can make that promise. And it's a shame. I'm going to say again, y'all might get tired of this, how we treat the Lord. It's a shame. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4, what shall we say then? Shall we continue sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How that we, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live therein any longer? Know ye not that so many of us that was baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. God said no. We that have been buried with Christ, we put away sin. Put it away. We've been buried with him. And you know in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, it says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached unto you, wherein ye stand, which also you have received. Wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Are you listening? For I delivered unto you the first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died. And that he was buried according to the scripture, and that he rose again the third day. Christ died, Christ was buried, and Christ rose the third day. Somehow, we got to get into the death of Christ. We got to get into his burial. And we got to get into his resurrection. And the Bible tells how to do it. In Romans chapter 6 again, in verse 17, it says, but thanks be to God that you were the servant of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which were delivered unto you, being then made free from sin. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. This is what we have done. Well, you know what a form is. A form of something that says like that tray there. Maybe I'll use an ice tray. Take an ice tray and you put water in it. And you freeze it. The cube comes out, look just like the shape of the tray. That's a form. Christ died. We died to the love and the practice of sin. We have a form of Christ's death. Christ was buried in Joseph's new tomb. We are buried in water that our sins might be washed away. We have a form of his burial. Christ rose the third day to die no more. We be buried in water and rise from that water, from baptism. We have a form of Christ's resurrection. No one he could tell them, but thanks be to God that you have obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine being then made free from sin. There is nobody since from the cross of Christ on forward will ever see salvation free from sin unless they obey that form of doctrine. God only has one plan. And I want to say this in closing. If you go back and look when Adam and Eve sinned, and God had a plan to bring man back to him, he went through a whole lot. He went through animal sacrifice. He went through prophets. He went through judges. He went through. You look at it all the way through the wisdom of God, how he did. Finally, he sent his son to die. Shed his blood on the cross. And we're going to partake of it today before we leave. The bread in remembrance of his body that hung on the cross. And we're going to take of the fruit of the vine in remembrance of the blood that he shed. It is serious, church. It's not a thing to take lightly. Now, singing is just as important as anything else. Prayer is just important. And let me give you an example. If you take a car that's got four tires on it, and it has the engine and everything, five components. Car got the tires. If you take the right front tire off, is it any better? I mean, if you take the front right tire off, you're not going anywhere. If you take the left back tire off, you're not going anywhere. It needs all four tires. My point I'm trying to get you to see is prayer, giving, singing, taking the Lord's Supper, preaching, all of them important. Every last one. And one of them is no important than the other one. So we have to take that to that point. All of God's service is important. There's one more important than the other one. Now, when I was coming up as a young kid, there were some that as long as they got there to take the Lord's Supper, they was all right. But let me tell you something. God is not pleased with that. God is not pleased with that. God expects for us to come and worship. And we ought to do it if we love the Lord and love his call. All the suffering that he's done, we ought to do it. Lastly, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. All of the other names in denomination, are they under heaven? Yes. Are they among men? Yes. The Lord is saying there's no salvation there. No salvation in him. In Philippians 2:10, the Bible says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. He said, every knee going to bow. Or one day we're going to do it. Everybody going to do it. They're going to recognize it. But just hope that it won't be too late. Then he goes on to say, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. So there's going to come a day that it's going to happen. And as soon as we recognize it and make up our mind to do and serve the Lord, then it won't happen. We won't be able to make it if we don't. There are many of us, we're further on in life than others. We've experienced life. We experienced a lot of things. And we know, we see people die. We got relatives that die. We know where we're going. We know where we know we're going to die. We know that. But the Lord is pleading. Take the opportunity while we're alive to do what he says and to encourage others to do. It's just like you are here this morning in the beautiful class they had this morning. How nice would it be if y'all could be here at 10 o'clock? What encouragement would it be? The young man stand up here and teach the Bible class. Do you know if you come in here at 10 o'clock, and you know what you'll do to him? You make him stay up a half a night studying his lesson. I'm telling you, what encouragement we could do for one another. And let me mention this. There are people that are seeking and looking for places to go. Those that are members of the church. They're tired of the places where they are. All this boom, 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 boom going on. They're tired of it. And they're looking for a place to go. But when they come here at 9 o'clock and they only see a handful, it's disencouragement. It's disencouragement. They walk up here down at 10 o'clock and see all of y'all here. You know what they're going to do? They're going to go back and tell their friend. Man, they really, things are going nice over there. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to invite them. That's what would happen. You've heard how Jesus died. Will you believe it? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Jesus said, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. The Lord tells us this on the front end, not on the last end, on the front end. What's going to happen if we don't? Isn't that wonderful? So we can get our lives together. Are you willing to confess his name before men that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Are you willing to be buried in water that your sins might be washed away? Christ has paid for everything. And all he asks us to do is obey what he has commanded. And he says, his yoke is easy and my burdens are light. If there are you here that have not been faithful, as you know, and God know, you ought to straighten it today. You ought to straighten it. There is no better time today. Whatever you need to straighten.